Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter. 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter. God's calling. God's calling on your life. God has a calling on every life. He has made a calling definite, not just somebody to drift and ever sampling lines of activity. God calls us for spatial purposes and in spatial positions in the body of Christ and in the work of the kingdom of God. So, let's start in verse 20. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. And actually, God is not talking about just being a paid servant or hired servant. He's talking about being a slave. Use a slave, don't worry about it. For he that is called in the Lord being a servant, or a slave that is the Lord's free man. Likewise also, he that is called being free, you're not in bondage, you're Christ's servant. You're bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called therein abide with God. I'm going to talk more about helps than other gifts or positions or callings that God has placed on our life. Paul speaks more about that than anything else because he is a servant of God. He's listed in Acts 13 chapter as one among the prophets. In the book of Timothy, both 1st and 2nd Timothy books, he says that he's an apostle and a preacher and a teacher. So his calling was multiple. He was called to fill several offices that he filled pretty well. He was capable of doing that. God calls every man according to what Jesus said in Matthew 25, beginning in verse 14. He said, every man said, the Son of Man is a man going into a far country. And he called his servants and gave every one of them talents. To one he gave five, one, two, one, one. Every man according to what? His several ability. God knows your ability. And he calls you according to your ability that you can handle something your size. All gifts, all talents, all callings are not the same. All responsibilities. A calling means you have a responsibility. You have a place to serve. And God calls us, each one, according to our ability and puts us in an office within the body of Christ. And then the work of the kingdom of God on this earth. He gives us a talent. He gives us a gift according to our ability. Many times we have the same gift as somebody else, but it's a different size. It's a different size gift. God doesn't give anybody, any two people, the same thing or the same size. They may have the same gift, the same calling, the same talent, but it's not the same size. Paul explains that very succinctly in a number of places in his epistles, that the calling of God, especially in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, that God gives grace according to that size of the gift that we get. He gives us grace to operate that gift or to invest that talent. Well, talent, according to Matthew 25, as Jesus used that parable there of a man going into a far country and giving talents to his servants. He calls it money. God gives us money to handle according to our ability to handle money. And ain't no use to fuss with God about it. He knows us better than we know ourselves. So, back to verse 20. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. If you call a servant, use it. If you're free, use that. Now I want us to go back to the Old Testament. Begin Deuteronomy the 10th chapter, verse 12. And now, Moses speaking. Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? What does God require of us? Every prophet always spoke that in different terminology. I just pause here and refer to Micah 6 and 8. He has showed the old man, and what doth the Lord require of thee? But to love mercy, to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. To do justly, be fair in everything you do, and to love mercy. Mercy rejoiceth over judgment. And to walk along humbly with thy God. Now Moses is putting it a different way. He said, Israel, what doth the Lord God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God? How? With all your heart, with all your soul. To keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I have commanded thee this day for thy good. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord thy God. The earth also, with all that is therein. Psalm 115, verse 16. David said, Behold, the heaven, even the heaven of heavens is the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. All that up yonder, God takes care of that. He didn't expect man to get up there and walk on the moon and try to fool around with Mars. What does he want to fool Mars for? It's full of old poison gas, old green gas. You couldn't get nobody to live there unless you got a capsule and an oxygen tank. How long is that going to last? Ain't nobody on Mars. Ain't no Martians up there. Shoot. Talk to some old smart aleck. Don't know nothing about the Word of God. I run in one last week. Ray and I was stopped to get gas down there on the other side of Ocala. Old boy sitting there. I don't know. He's just conversing. He said, I believe there's people up there on them planets. Well, they didn't believe it. Fool don't believe there's any God. The fool says in his heart there is no God. You got to believe in God. You got to believe this scripture. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's. The Lord's thy God, the earth also, and all that is therein. And he gave the earth to the children of men, but the heaven of heavens belongs to God, and he runs it. You know who runs this earth? The devil. The Bible, Jesus called him the prince of this world. He put Lucifer as ruler, prince over the earth, but he don't let him run all them other planets. He put the angels down here. See, in the beginning, this planet earth belonged to angels. Angels inhabited this earth. Thousands of years ago, back before the Garden of Eden. Angels live here. They sinned against God, and God put this earth under water and under darkness and put a curse on it. And it laid here, no telling how long. Some of these paleontologists, they call them, that studies naturalism and all of its effects and all these biological formations and things they study about the earth's, the crust of the earth and everything under it, far as they can go, and the depth of the sea. They say there's evidence the earth's been here for even billions of years. Well, so what? I don't care. I know in this present form it hasn't. Because God brought it out of darkness and out from under the water back there in the book of Genesis, chapter 1. He made some light and he brought it out from under the curse. And put man on it. And give it to man instead of the angels. And he put something down in the middle of the earth. It wasn't here in the beginning. He's got a big pit down there and it's red hot. A lake of fire. And Jesus said in Matthew the 25th chapter, verse 41. He said to them on the left hand in the day of judgment, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. God didn't make that pit down there to put man in, but that's where he's going. He made it for the devil and his angels. Well, you don't know why the devil's not down there yet? God put a sentence on the devil because he'd given the earth to the devil. He couldn't take it back until his righteous decrees had been vindicated and carried out to its completion. And whenever God's plan for the ages has run its course at the end of the age of man, then he's going to take the devil and put him in that prison that he's sentenced him to. But sentence hasn't been carried out with finality. And there's a lot of devils and angels and demons down there